You may remember a book and movie called The Secret that came out a while back. It was about the law of attraction. And it said that if we set a clear intention, and if we consistently focus our hearts and minds on what we want, whether that be a parking spot or the love of our life or our dream home, if we consistently focus our hearts and minds on that, we'll get it. Well, this set off quite a stir. That resonated for a lot of people. But some people were skeptical. And they said, this sounds like magical thinking. Your thoughts aren't like some magic wand. You can't just think what you want and abracadabra have it appear. We can't do that. Or can we? You know, the great spiritual sages through the ages have demonstrated and taught that our minds are far more powerful than we realize. You know, think about Jesus for a moment. He healed the sick, turned water into wine, he calmed the storm, even walked on water through the power of his intention. And the great Eastern yogis and gurus are known for their abilities, for having been able to actually cause events to occur, synchronicities, conditions, and even to manifest physical objects. You know, rightly understood, this word abracadabra actually conveys the meaning of this kind of manifestation. So you may not realize that the word abracadabra is an ancient Aramaic term. And Aramaic is the language that Jesus spoke. And the word abracadabra means, I create as I speak. I create as I speak. My words and thoughts create my reality. Well, in the 1600s, magicians started using this word because they thought it had magical power. And sometimes they would use it as a name for God. People would wear amulets that said abracadabra on them in order to heal or ward off illness. And they believed this word abracadabra helped them focus on the creative healing power of thought. Well, we may not yet fully realize the entire extent of the power of our minds, but this much we do know. That we are powerful, creative, spiritual beings, as we just sang, and we create our own reality through our thoughts. Well, this is reflected in Unity's third principle, which says, human beings create their experiences by the activity of their thinking. Everything in the manifest realm has its beginning in thought. What this is saying is that every thought we think, every emotion that we feel is creating our reality. So let's just take a simple example. If you wake up in the morning and say, oh, another day, you have immediately set into motion the framework for the experience of a difficult day. But if you wake up in the morning and say, oh, another day, you are inviting the experience of wonder. You see, from the very beginning, you are creating the framework for what your day is going to be like. And then all through the day, every moment of every day, we are choosing what to notice, what to think, and what to believe. You know, we humans are very, very creative. And we're meaning makers. And in that attempt to constantly make sense of what is going on around us, we make up stories. We make up stories. We make up stories about ourselves. We make up stories about other people. We make up stories about what is happening. We create our own reality. These stories become our reality. Well, there was a policeman who was summoned to the scene of a burglary, and he promptly arrested the thief, who, as it turned out, was his brother. Well, later on, sometime later, a reporter interviewed both men, and the policeman said, My father was an alcoholic. How else could I have turned out? And the reporter interviewed his brother, the thief, and he said, "My father was an abusive drunk. How else could I turn out?" You see, they were in the same situation, but the perceptions were different. Their stories were different, and the outcomes were different. For the policeman, his father's alcoholism, he interpreted that or took that or felt that as a call to come up higher, to take on responsibility, to do good in the world. His brother, for his brother, the alcoholism of the father was a reason to give up. Same situation, different stories, different lives. The bottom line is this: we're in charge of our own lives, nobody else, us. Made in the image and likeness of God, we too are creators, and the greatest thing that we create is our life experience. And if we don't like the experience that we're having, we can change it. Friday night, we watched a really wonderful movie. I want to thank Michelle Lutton and Karen Singley again for bringing this movie to us. It's called Forks Over Knives, and it portrays the healing journeys of several individuals who had cancer, heart disease, or diabetes. And they had all made a choice to change their diet as part of their healing regimen. And simply by making that choice, they were shifting their story from victim to victor. And they worked with nutritional consultants and doctors to adopt a whole foods, plant-based diet, and ultimately, every one of them, for every one of them, their illness was either stopped or reversed or completely eliminated. You see, they discovered that they had the power within them to change their lives. And so do you. You know, sometimes people don't want that power. Hey, you know, that's okay. It's a lot easier and sometimes more fun to be a victim, right? To complain, to blame other people. That's the easy way out. It's not very fulfilling, but moreover, we're not here to be victims. You're not here to be a victim. You're here to manifest the glory of God that is within you. You are a spiritual being with the blueprint of the Christ, the highest expression of God and humankind within you. You are here to live into that. You see, and the whole world, the whole universe, all of life is pulling for you. Life is not against you. When we have setbacks or challenges, they're not some punishment coming from the universe. They are actually catalysts for our growth. So there's an easy way to think about this that I have found very helpful for shifting perspective. So when something adverse happens in your life, instead of asking the question, "Why is this happening to me?" ask, "Why is this happening for me?" You feel the difference? Why is this happening for me? It implies that the way of our lives, the way of the universe, is towards a higher good. No matter what is going on, what's the gift in this? What am I to learn from this? Where's the blessing? Is there some thought or something in me that has caused this situation to come about for my soul's purpose? So we realize that we have this ability to choose that perspective. And when we live into that, when we live into the knowing that, as Richard would say, the universe is conspiring to ensure our happiness, then we are ready to set our sights, to lift our sights, and to focus on what we most truly want. You know, quantum physicists tell us that the universe is made up of unlimited possibilities, infinite potential. For any given situation, there are unlimited possible outcomes. And we choose what becomes real for us by what we focus our thoughts and our feelings and our attention on. We basically select it from all the possibilities that are out there. We select this to be our reality. And we do it partly by expecting it, as we were just singing about. We expect it. We set up that field of energy around it, and we also can help attract it into our lives by experiencing what it will be like in advance, by feeling in advance how it will feel when this has come to pass. So a friend of ours, Will Bowen, is a Unity minister, and you may have heard about this whole initiative. It's probably about a dozen years ago now. It started out in his church. He started the complaint-free church idea, and he passed out purple bracelets to everybody in the church, and people were supposed to wear the bracelet on their wrist, and if they caught themselves complaining or being negative in some way, they had to move it to the other wrist. Well, the idea was to keep it on one wrist and go 21 days without complaining. 21 days is said to be the period of time required for us to create a new habit. Well, it was a huge hit in this church, and it was huge in the community, and before you knew it, it was all over the country. And by golly, Reverend Will Bowen ended up going on the Oprah Winfrey Show not once but twice to talk about what had become the Complaint-Free World campaign. So later I asked Will, I said, "Wow, Will, did you ever imagine that you were going to end up on the Oprah Winfrey Show?" And he said, "Absolutely." He said, "That was the plan from the very beginning." Even from the very beginning, they put a picture of Oprah up on the church bulletin board with a heading that said, "Oprah, here we come." Really. And then Will began to imagine, uses the power of his imagination to imagine how it would feel to get on the plane to fly to Chicago, how it would feel when he was approaching the building where the show was filmed, going up in the elevator. He imagined what it would be like to hug Oprah. He imagined how her hair would smell. Every detail made it so real. And of course, it happened just that way. You see, when we use the power of our perception, with the power of our focus, the power of our imagination in this way, we raise our vibration. We create a field of energy that becomes like a magnet to attract in what we are seeking. Ellen Devenport, in her great book, The Five Principles, describes it this way. She says, "The universe operates as a field of energy, and so do we. Imagine yourself as a tuning fork. Your feelings in any given moment set up a vibrational tone. The universe picks up the tone and hums along, amplifying your sound." Now, we know what scientists tell us these days, that we are all vibrating threads or strings of energy. We create a vibration. You feel a vibration. You feel a vibration when you come in here. You feel a vibration when you encounter another person. And a very high vibration is a very, very powerful energy field. I've experienced that multiple times in my life. I've been very blessed. But the one that comes to mind was it began about 5.5 years ago when the Ministerial Search Committee here at Unity Renaissance sat down to write out their description of what they wanted in their new minister. They put a lot of love, a lot of care, a lot of intention, even passion and dreams into that document. And when I opened it in Kansas City, I felt the vibration of it. They had actually created a vibration of what their heart's desire was, and I felt that vibration. Not only did I feel it, but it just permeated me. Like all of my cells were vibrating with it. And that connection, that shared vibration, set in motion all manner of what you might call coincidences, but we might know a little better. You know, the universe conspired to ensure my happiness. Because due to that vibration and the energy that generated in me and here at the church, first of all, I received permission to apply for this job while I was still in ministerial school. You're not supposed to do that, but they let me do that. And then on this end, there were three finalists already chosen. One of them dropped out. And when that person dropped out, it created the space for me to apply. And then the search committee, thank you, Eddie Oliver, the search committee decided to consider my application even though I was a latecomer and still in ministerial school. And when I came through those, well, thank you. Well, thank you. Then when I had the miraculous experience of coming here for my tryout and I stepped through those doors, oh my gosh, the energy field here was and is incredible. I felt like now I know what that vibration is that I've been feeling. Vibration of unconditional love. Vibration of being home. You see, this is the power of a high vibration, and I believe it is the key to manifesting our dreams. And so the question you may well have is, okay then, how do I raise my vibration? Well, here are a couple of thoughts. And the first is to release your limiting thoughts about yourself. I know that's easier said than done. But take this to heart. You are not what people have told you are. You are not how people have labeled you or treated you in the past. You are not even who you have told yourself you are. You are so much greater than that. You're not a victim. You're not a helpless victim. You're not a lowly sinner. You're the power of God expressing. You got it all going on, friends. It's all right there inside of you. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, it tells us in Proverbs 23:7. And inevitably, the level of your belief in yourself will manifest in whatever you do. Second thing you can do is look beyond appearances. Don't be fooled by appearances. You're vibrating at a higher level. Jesus was a master at this. He could look past the appearance of leprosy or blindness or lameness and see the whole and healthy person there before him. He could look past the unfairness of his trial and the death threats that he received to stay attuned to the ultimate goodness of his ministry. Don't be fooled by what's going on this earthly plane. You belong to something much bigger. One of the most difficult things that we face in life is when we have an intention for what we want to have happen, and what we didn't want to have happen has already occurred. And Ellen Davenport speaks about this in her book, and I think it's very, very powerful. She says that in these cases, our task is not just to change our thoughts. It is actually to feel the experience of the unwanted event not happening. That sounds strange, doesn't it? It's not denial. But it's also not playing at this low vibrational level, you see. If you connect with the higher truth, with that vibration of this not happening, then you are more divinely guided in the decisions that you make, the way you live your life. I think of it this way. I think of like Gandhi, for example, when the British would come to visit him. And they were absolutely adversaries, right? He's leading the effort for India to win their independence from Britain. These folks would show up. But he wouldn't connect with them on that level of their imperialism. He wasn't reacting from that place. He was actually putting himself in the consciousness of India already being liberated and life being good and life being a blessing. And they felt that when they came, and it would shift. They would say, watch out, if you talk to that Gandhi, he'll get to you. And he did it simply by staying anchored in the higher truth. And the third thing that we can do to raise our vibration is to take charge of our lives. Take charge of your life. This is your life. This is your life you're living. Make it what you want it to be. It's up to you. You have all the potential, you have all the power, all the possibilities in you. Jesus said it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So claim it, right? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. This is the highest purpose, the highest will of the universe for you. We're not here to play small. We're here to manifest the glory of God. And so if you are not having the experience of life that you want, if something is getting to you, realize that you have the power in you to change it. As someone said after the 9 o'clock service today, Hocus pocus, change your focus. You're the captain of your fate. You are the master of your soul. So change your thinking. And abracadabra, change your life. Let's prepare now for meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat. Let's close our eyes if you wish and take a deep breath in. Release and let it go. One more time, a deep breath in. And let it go. Allowing yourself to peel away your busy thoughts, any worries or concerns. Settle into that still place at the very center of your being. And breathe. Imagine for a moment that Spirit is breathing you, breathing in and out. Imagine Spirit breathing in and out through your heart. And the great panorama of life spread out before you. Allow yourself to feel this nurturing energy of the divine. This great love surrounding you, great love within you. Caring for you, comforting you, giving you all the courage, the resilience, the focus to live to the fullest. I invite you to let go of any earthly concerns and surrender for these moments to whatever you are meant to hear from Spirit in the silence. Feel gratitude wash over us as we feel the blessings of this day and this life. That sense of oneness with the divine, the knowing that this is the truth of who we are. We take to heart the truth that when you rule your mind, you rule your life. And so we go forward with great expectation. All good unfolding for each and all of us. Thank you, God, and so it is.